Welcome to the Intuitive Awakening Podcast. I'm your host, Deanna Riddick. I'm an author, teacher, and eternal seeker of truth. I am on a mission to spread metaphysical knowledge to everyone in an effort to help them awaken to universal truth. If you want to learn about spirituality, the occult, and all things related to metaphysics, you are in the right place. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Intuitive Awakening. My name is Dina. Thank you for joining me for this week's episode. Last week, we started our journey with the Fool through the tarot, and we went from, you know, the Fool to the Magician to the High Priestess. So this week, we are going to be covering the Empress, the Emperor, the Hierophant, and the Lovers. So there's quite a bit of ground to cover, but I've tried to simplify it because I know there's a lot to remember. So I'm trying to make it more digestible as I go through each card of the major arcana, which is where we are. So moving away from the High Priestess, the Fool, next on his journey, the Fool encounters the Empress. And in this card, we have a woman who's lounging in a chair in the middle of nature, and she's clothed in this pomegranate dress holding a scepter. One of the first things that we notice in this card is her surroundings, and the surroundings are quite luscious. Nature is super abundant, it's fruitful, and all of that together is a very good indication of the meaning of this card and even what the Empress herself represents. The scepter that she holds has been called a baton of sovereignty, and she is the Earth Mother and the goddess of fertility. All in all, she represents the nurturing energy. So on his journey, or on her journey of the Fool, the Fool encounters this mother energy, this nurturing energy, after having, you know, already encountered the Magician and the High Priestess. So when the Fool encounters the Empress, he or she learns really what the possibilities are when engaging in the world and when creating even in the world. So the abundance is really representative of the possibilities. And when we talk about abundance here, it usually reflects the abundance due to creative projects once they've been nurtured. Again, this whole card is, a lot of it's about nurturing, but fertility and abundance. This card signals that your creative projects will come to fruition. This is a very great card to get upright. I don't think it's negative when you get it reversed, but I'll tackle that in a minute. But what you also notice in this card, when you're just looking at the woman, you see that she looks pregnant. There's been a lot of speculation as to whether or not she is. Usually people, you know, if you decide, okay, for my purposes, she's pregnant, then the tarot is going to understand that that is the meaning that you have attributed. That is the definition you have attributed to that deck. So just make sure that you stay consistent. For myself, I say, you know, for my own understanding and due to my own interpretation, she is indeed pregnant. She produces. Look at all of the produce and the lusciousness of her surroundings, right? She's giving birth to new life. And she is a ruler in her own right, but she rules through her nurturing aspect. Now, in a very literal sense, the Empress, it can refer to motherhood, it can refer to children, and also, of course, it referred to being pregnant. So if you're reading for someone, you know, there is a chance if you get this card that yes, the person on the other side of the table may or may not be pregnant. So some of the keywords that we can associate with this and the upright position would be abundance, motherhood, pregnancy, of course, fertility, creativity, definitely, and then nurturing. All in all, this card is an earth sign, somebody who's an earth sign. It is indicative of earth energy, which makes complete sense for us. Now, the numerology assigned to this card is the three. And threes are all about creative self-expression. It's also about using the mind, body, and spirit to create, or using the conscious, subconscious, or even the superconscious, right, to create. Now, in the reverse, this card can actually indicate a lack of results. So either something is happening that's blocking your efforts to be successful with your creations, or even that, you know, there could be a delay in the projects that you're working on, you know, coming to fruition. So there is a slight potential that what you're working on potentially won't yield a lot of results, or you could just be experiencing some sort of block, whether it's a creative block or what have you. Now, when we speak of motherhood, if you're defining this card this way, then this card can also indicate an ability to conceive children or barrenness. All right, so again, as I said, in this deck, at least in the major arcana, the Empress represents this mother energy. Now, next on the journey, the Fool encounters the Emperor, the other half, right? So you have the mother energy of the Empress, and then you have the father figure of the deck, which is the Emperor. Now, in this specific tarot card, you have a man who's seated on his throne, and the throne is adorned with the heads of four rams. And of course, the four rams are representing his astrological sign, which is an Aries. And Aries is that really great fire energy. Aries does symbolize force, aggression, and war. So in one hand, he is carrying a scepter, which represents his right to rule. And in the other hand, he is carrying an orb, which is a symbol of the kingdom that he is essentially responsible for. And just looking at the card again, you have the Emperor with a very long beard, and that beard in itself represents age, experience over time. And just that that feature itself kind of shows that, okay, he's been around, he's seen a lot. So that whole saying of been there, done that definitely can be applied to this card. So over time, he's really learned what it takes to, I hate to say this, but to rule, if you will, to establish power, to be an authority figure. He understands what is necessary for that. Now, behind him, there are these barren mountains, and these mountains just in itself, which you kind of see this theme of mountains going throughout the deck, which is important to pay attention to. And mountains really do symbolize his ambition for greater heights. It symbolizes his determination, but it also symbolizes, you know, these mountains that he had to climb to become the person that he is, right? To gain the wisdom that he's gained, to gain that understanding. And the Emperor, as opposed to the Empress, who, if you're looking at the card where there are these flowing fields that kind of imply, you know, that I would say that the ground is being nurtured by the water, the Emperor instead, you know, is ruling with strength, force, and discipline, right? So the landscapes look very, very different in the mother and the father figure card. So in contrast to even the High Priestess, right, if we revisit her, the Emperor symbolizes a rationalist approach to issues. He values analysis, measurement, over the way of the High Priestess, which was emotion and even intuition. This comes from Rachel Pollack's book, which I will link in the show notes. This card, again, this barren landscape, right? Again, it's in big contrast to the Empress card, where she's sitting in this lush and green environment, which is very life-giving. However, the Emperor's barren landscape seems almost lifeless, and it can indicate the sterility of life if we don't live following our actual passions. If we live a life that is strictly governed by rules, then yes, we may succeed, but at what cost, right? That's kind of also the lesson of the Emperor. I also wanted to say that the Emperor is a very strong and powerful leader. So just the word leader can be attributed to this card. And he is in a position of authority. So he's an authority figure. And as an authority figure, he demands loyalty from everyone around him. But he also does offer wisdom and advice to those who need it. Because again, he's been there, done that. If you can remember that phrase, you'll remember this card. So the Emperor represents someone who is a strategic thinker, someone who organizes, someone who plans everything out and sees it through to fruition. He has like these action steps that he takes to get to point A to point B, which he has, he understands and knows the steps specifically, again, given his life experience. He uses common sense, structure, discipline, and logic to create and to succeed. And he definitely represents law and order. He is known to create order out of chaos, and he values routine and discipline. The interesting thing about the Emperor is, you know how when someone tells you to balance your head and your heart to come to a decision? Well, for this card, it emphasizes the head, the mind. That's what he uses primarily, as opposed to that balance that we actually need. All right, so again, this card is representative of the sign of fire. The numerology is number four, which, you know, number four is all about stability, structure, and even discipline. So it's definitely applicable to this card. Now, in the reversed position, the Emperor can be, again, you know, if we keep in mind, this person is somebody of authority, someone who is powerful. If it's reversed, the negative meaning can actually amplify, you know, the message of the card, meaning this could be someone who is like a tyrant, someone who is incredibly domineering, someone who, like I told you, rules with their head, but almost to the extent that they are not even considering the morality of the situation, right? There's no ethics. It's all just from the mind, law and order, as opposed to the consequences of that. Usually, usually in total, this card refers to a father figure. So usually it is the person's father or your father. And these could be aspects of your father that are negatively amplified. Somebody who is your superior, someone who is controlling and domineering, someone who makes you feel powerless. Now, as opposed to this being your actual father, this could be a father figure in your life, and this can be a boss that you have at your work who also embodies these negative attributes that make it very difficult for you to stand up to them because they're in positions of power. And this boss can be incredibly overbearing and very authoritative. So not the best in the reverse position, right? Yes. Okay. So we're going to move on from the Emperor. And now we're going to tackle the Hierophant. All right. I love this card. I love this card because I used to always get this weird card. And I think I have a slightly different meaning for this card than the traditional meaning. So after having met and visited with the mother and the father, the Empress and the Emperor, the Fool now encounters the Hierophant. And the Hierophant is also known as the Pope, which means the father. So after, you know, moving away from the mother and father, he is now exposed to, in his experience in the world or her experience in the world, these beliefs and traditions of the culture that he's been immersed into based off of the teachings from the mother and father as well. But also, you know, this is kind of the start of his or her journey into a more religious or spiritual education. And the Hierophant, you know, in this card really does represent an organized belief system. So if you take a look at the Rider-Waite Hierophant, the card in itself depicts a religious figure that's sitting in a very formal environment, which looks similar to a church. His right hand is raised in an act of benediction, which is a sign of a blessing. It's the same hand that the magician has raised. So as you see, certain actions carry throughout the cards as well. There are parallels for a reason. because the tarot is mysterious. And certain things, even if you've been reading the cards for years, you will always learn something new. Like, oh, I never knew that. Huh, now I have to, you know, kind of sit down and try to understand the deeper meaning of these cards. Okay, so in his left hand, he is carrying a triple cross, and this is traditionally associated with the Pope. And each of the horizontal bars that you see in the cross, they are supposed to represent the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So in this card, directly beneath him, there are two, what I call initiates, that are seated. And what is actually happening in the scene itself is that there is a transfer of knowledge from, if you want to call him the Pope, to the initiate. And of course, this knowledge is a spiritual knowledge, a sacred knowledge, etc. And this card, it can represent one's path to knowledge and education, spiritual education. If you look at the position from the initiates themselves, they are being inducted into perhaps a church membership, but also they could be initiated into some sort of secret mystery school, right, to gain this knowledge. So if we think about the preceding card, which is the Emperor is responsible for educating the fool in the ways of the world. But the Hierophant, who is the Pope, is responsible for educating the fool about the ways of the spirit world, or providing a spiritual education. So again, you know, the fool is learning new lessons of how to be in the world, of different perspectives of the world. Additionally, the Pope, you can kind of see the Pope as maybe an intermediary, right? Espousing the spiritual teachings. So an intermediary between spirit, all that is, and to the people of the earth. But in my mind, the Pope, which I don't like calling it the Pope, I do like, you know, the Hierophant is not a replacement for God. And when I say that, I mean to other people, because this card does speak to traditional religious memberships, religious structures, and I understand that that's the original meaning. However, I feel, you know, with this card, he's more like a conduit of sharing sacred knowledge, but not to take place, not to replace everyone's ability to access that knowledge for themselves. But there is always steps to learning, and there are always teachers. And I feel like the Hierophant fulfills the role of that teacher, but not a replacement for all of infinite intelligence or the divine teacher itself. The Hierophant, in this case, really gives each individual, each initiate, a firm tradition in which to root their personal development. All right, so the Hierophant is the masculine counterpart of the High Priestess, right? In this card, the Hierophant is actually ruled by Taurus, which is an earth sign. So it's interesting because to see the Hierophant in a reading, it's all about tradition, conformity, and following, you know, the conventional rules, which again, I understand is the traditional meaning. I don't know if I embrace that meaning per se when I use this card, because I personally define the Hierophant as being a spiritual teacher, which isn't necessarily far off, but I don't look at the Hierophant as somebody who is very rigid, somebody who has, you know, specific rules to follow to gain understanding. I look at it as being more of a spiritual representative to help to teach, but not necessarily to dictate. I hope that makes sense. So if you see the Hierophant in a reading, it is all about embracing the conventional. It may suggest that, you know, for you or for the person in particular who is asking questions, it might be better for them to actually consider a more orthodox approach to whatever it is that they're doing. So it might be better also for you or that person to kind of adapt to very specific beliefs and systems which are in place already and that are existing. And it may be better for some people when they're just first going off on their own spiritual journey, they may need some sort of structure in place. And I always advocate for that because there is so much information now. There's so much information that's available at our fingertips that it can become overwhelming, distracting, and it might be more fruitful to work, you know, alongside a group or teachers to help structure your path to learning as opposed to going, you know, left, right, center, up, down, all over the place because there are so many teachings available in this modern day and age, which I think was available some time ago, but there has been an explosion lately. And it can become very overwhelming to find your path when everything sounds fantastic. So the Hierophant, yes, traditionally is all about, you know, conforming to a specific belief system, to a specific dogma, to a specific religion, and operating within those structures and following those specific rules and conforming to those rituals, etc., right? There's a system to it. And that's not necessarily very negative. However, it's important that even when you are in that system and you're applying, you know, the principles of that belief system and the learnings, you know, keep an open mind. That I learned when I was growing up, as I think many of you know, when I was going to church, I was always told in that church, this is the only way. This is it. There's nothing else that's the truth. This is the only church that Jesus is coming back for. So don't question, just listen and be quiet. And that's the way I was taught growing up. And that, you know, I don't know if that completely represents the spiritual teacher here, the Pope. It could in some way. But this card to me is also kind of a warning to keep an open mind even after you're learning. All right, so the keywords for this card in an upright position are tradition, conventionality, conformity, knowledge, beliefs, etc., right? Tradition, a lot of tradition. The numerology of this card is actually quite interesting because it is the number 5. And you know, for me, the number 5 is all about change and chaos and disorder and going into the unknown, right? And that's something that the Fool actually does encounter, which is kind of strange because, again, the Hierophant is all about tradition, following a set of certain rules, following certain rituals, right? Because this is like the known realm. But really, when you step into spiritual studies, there's a lot of unknowns that could cause internal turmoil, a lot of questioning, right? And it's supposed to, when you do spiritual studies, it's supposed to bring change from within. So to me, it almost does kind of go along with the Hierophant. Okay, in a reversed position, definitely speaks about rebellion, going against the fray, being very unconventional in your thinking and not conforming at all. So when you see this card in reversed, most likely it is going to indicate that you are starting to question certain traditions, that you start to break away from these conventions, that you start to question what you've been told, that you start questioning the rules and the rituals and the purpose and the motivations of everything, right? The meanings. So I find this card, believe it or not, good in both the upright and in the reversed position, personally. And because this card, you know, for most is all about conventionality and tradition, it actually in readings can indicate that someone's getting married, okay? So that's just a side note of the Hierophant. Okay, look at us getting through this deck. 156 meetings. Quite a lot. All right, so now we're gonna move on from the Hierophant, where you kind of establish your belief system, right? Or start to question even your belief system, to the Lovers. So after meeting with the Hierophant, the Fool then encounters the Lovers, which is a completely new experience. We don't have this yet, right, in the deck. So he or she begins to experience this, we can call it an urge, for another person, a sexual urge, if you will. Perhaps the Fool is experiencing a physical attraction to another person. And I think this is more of like a primal urge, even though others will say differently, but this is subject to your own interpretation. So the Fool, he or she, is now yearning for that physical affection, touch, sexual union of sorts. Just looking at the card itself, you see you have a man and a woman who's in this image, and they're being protected and blessed by an angel above. However, if you take a closer look at this card, it really shows them being in the Garden of Eden. You have the fruit tree with the snake behind the woman who is supposed to be Eve. And this whole story really is telling, it's really reflecting humanity's fall into the flesh, into sensuality, into temptation. The story here of, you know, original sin. You also have the angel who is depicted above, and this is Archangel Raphael, who is an angel of the air, right? So of the zodiac sign that governs this card is the Gemini, which is, you know, the same element, which is the angel of air. So air, as we are aware of, is associated with mental activity. But air is definitely associated with all things related to communication, which is what? Important for any type of relationship. What's interesting in this card is the role of the angel. Now, is the angel blessing this union? Or is there another reason that he's bringing them together for a bigger lesson here? When you do research, you're going to find most people say, oh, it's a blessed union, which it definitely could be, right? So again, you have to attribute the meanings. Now, in reversed, well, let me continue. In the upright position, traditionally the Lovers means yes. This is going to be, I don't want to use the word a relationship, some sort of physical attraction to another person, but it's mainly of a sexual nature. Thus, the Lovers. Very simple, easy to remember, right? If the Lovers is in a reversed position, it can definitely indicate that these people are coming together to have an intimate encounter, but perhaps for all the wrong reasons. It's almost as if, you know, maybe one of the people in this intimate encounter entanglement, they're expecting this physical union to eventually turn into a committed relationship. But why would they be expecting that if the nature of it has always been, you know, just lust? You know, do you want a relationship that is built on mutual trust or just lust and pure physical attraction? Again, it could, in the reverse position, this card can indicate that the feelings in this relationship are not mutual. So again, you have one person who feels a strong physical attraction that may want this to go further, but the other person actually sees this as, you know, only a physical thing, and they're just satisfying their sexual urges. All right. Now I'm going to actually kind of throw a quick twist here, because in the earlier versions of the Lovers card, this card was not called the Lovers. It was actually called the Choice card. Thus, the card was all about making choices, choosing between vice or virtue, an important choice between two desires. So in the original card, there were two women, one that was light and one that was dark. And, you know, this could actually symbolize two different paths in life that you could take, depending upon your choice and even the motivations behind your choice. One light path, one dark path. And the decision here in this card, it's a very important decision according to the tarot. This is a decision that is clear cut, light and dark, right or wrong. And keep in mind, when you have to make this decision, the easiest option may not always be the best one. As we know in life, sometimes the most challenging path will bring us the most growth, the most experience, right? We'll learn the most. This card, if you look at it as the choice card, it's asking you to examine your own personal beliefs, your own personal values. You have to remember, like when you're looking at the major arcana specifically, it's always important to take into consideration the card that has preceded it. In this case, it's the Hierophant, right? And what did we learn being the Fool and encountering the Hierophant? Well, from, you know, your interactions with the Hierophant, you have kind of now established your own belief system and you've decided what you believe in. And you know, after encountering the Hierophant and learning and working with the Hierophant as an initiate, you should now be aware of how important it is to live in a completely authentic way, to be honest with yourself and thus know thyself, right? To a certain degree here. Thus, this decision that you're going to be facing in this choice card is really going to be a challenge to what you've just learned. And it's going to be testing your true beliefs. All right. The key words for this card: love, union, partnerships of the loving physical kind, romance, lust and passion, and choice. The numerology that's associated is number 6, right? Sixes are all about the nurturers, the caretakers, but it's also about love, home, and family life. Again, completely applicable. In the reverse position, this could mean that there is temptation, a lot of temptation. again, you've made a bad choice. So keep that in mind in the reverse position. All right, you guys, I really hope that this has been very helpful for you. I'm really trying to break it down so it's memorable. And also that it's easy to understand, it's digestible. Next week, I will be covering the Chariot, Strength card, the Hermit, and my favorite card of all in the upright position, the Wheel of Fortune. Everybody, please have a great week, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.